What we're going to be in today is Ephesians 6, verse 15, but we're going to go to a whole bunch of different places. And the reason for that is a few weeks ago was the youth summer camp, and we had the armor of God as the idea and the theme behind it. And then coming up next week with VBS, it's going to be the armor of God. And so it seems to be in our lives a lot lately, and God's trying to say something. And I wanted to share with us this evening. I had the pleasure to teach on the shoes of the gospel of peace. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So Ephesians 6, verse 15, and I'm going to pray before we get into it. Father, thank you so much for your love, your grace that you bestow upon us, Father. And Lord, as we hear your word today, or when we talk about what it is to walk forward in this, Lord, give us the strength to do it. Give us ears to hear, Father. Let me be in the background and speak through me, Father. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. So Ephesians 6, verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, as shoes are the essential piece that keeps us grounded here, the shoes of the gospel of peace are what we use to stay grounded in our Christian walk to the foundation, which is Jesus. Today we're going to be talking about how the gospel of peace is the pillar of our Christian life. From the foundation of Jesus, we get security, and why we should be vigilant and ready to whatever God calls us to. These two pillars hold up the frame of our Christian walk on this earth, which is evangelistic in both word and deed. And so as we continue on, I have a little story. How many of you, just raise your hands, have been on planes before? All right. I've been on so many planes. And one thing is that happens on a plane is before you lift off, the attendant or the attendants go and give you this brochure or tell you to look at this brochure, and nobody does it. But even though nobody does it, what happens is in the middle of the aisles, the attendants still go through every piece of the brochure and of safety that's in the brochure. And you know, you have the seatbelt, and it clicks, and they make sure that it clicks. You have oxygen tank that comes down, and if you need it, you know, let's say the cabin loses air pressure, this is going to come down, and we know you're going to freak out, but let's tell you how to do it, right? You got to first put it on yourself and then put on to others. Help yourself before assisting others. We've heard this before. A lot of people don't listen to it, but even though we might not be listening to it, we might be talking to people during the attendance demonstration of this, the principle there is the same, right? They're doing that to prepare you in case of emergency. Because what happens in a case of emergency, everyone freaks out. There's chaos. And so they tell it every plane ride, no matter what, no matter if you've been on the first plane or thousands of planes, they do it to prepare you in case there is an emergency. And what we're talking about tonight is that we must first have a good foundation in who we are before we can go and help others. We must first put the mask on ourselves before assisting others. And as we get into it, starting on a good foundation, like the shoes that Paul is referencing here, is critical. And so in verse 15 it says, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace," shod here means to bind on, to bind on. And binding the shoes to our feet, it's an image of preparation. To be ready to go forward and not waiting for that moment to then get ready. Through the whole armor of God, Paul talks about a soldier's armor and the different pieces of it. It doesn't matter how good your armor is on top if you fall on the ground in battle, because then you're an easy target. So how do we make sure that we have a firm grasp on our foundation, which is Jesus? And it starts with, what is our foundation as Christians? Shoes of the gospel of peace, right? So gospel, we all know gospel is good news. in peace, well, we know who is peace, right? The Prince of Peace. We know that Jesus is peace. And how do we know that? Because John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." So the good news of Jesus here is our foundation. And let's talk about these pillars that form from the foundation of Jesus and how to build onto it with others. And so our first pillar tonight is security. Security. It's our first pillar, and as Jesus is our foundation on which we stand, our security in Him and who we are in Him is first and foremost. Without the knowledge of who we are in Christ, we have no hope of sharing the good news and going forth unless it's by personally experiencing it first. And I'm not saying experience or security in the sense of putting up walls and making sure that you are secure and nobody can get close. What I'm saying is, are you secure in our foundation, right? Because if you think of rebar is secured to the foundation, and the pillars are secured to the foundation, which is Jesus. So are we personally experiencing Jesus? Have you guys ever heard someone tell you something they themselves didn't believe? An example would be a salesperson who is only trying to sell to get a paycheck or a quota versus someone who actually believes in and uses the product they're selling. A good example of that, I work at Academy. We sell shoes there. And I'm getting to the age now where shoes matter. And what type of shoe I get matters. And so I'm going to do a little bit of a sales to you guys and tell you guys the difference. But we have one pair of shoes there, and it's called the Air Max 270. I know it's like $160. They have cool colors. They must be really nice because people like to take them. They're the most taken shoe we have, so they must be nice. They have, looks like air in the middle of it or on the bottom of it, but you should get it because it's $160, so it's worth it, right? Because anything that costs that much should be good quality, okay? So that's the Air Max. Versus Brooks, another brand of shoes. And I can tell you that I have knee problems and ankle problems. I'm getting old, guys, is what's happening. It's just the truth of it. But Brooks is a running shoe or a you know, support shoe. And one of the cool things about Brooks is, you know, is at the bottom of it, it says nitrogen infused. Still have no clue what that means, but it's nitrogen infused. And I can tell the difference, even though I don't know how. One thing that for me I've experienced is with other shoes, because again, I can't just wear whatever I want anymore. With other shoes, my knee hurts all the time. I have a bum knee from football, and with these shoes, I can go and pull dollies, pull freight, push freight, all these things, and it's still some pain in my knee, but not near as much. And I can tell you that I've experienced a comfort in Brooks that I've never experienced in any other shoe. I'm not sponsored by Brooks. But there's a huge difference in the way that I talked there, isn't there? One is reciting lines. One is saying, oh, hey, the Air Max 270 has many colors and it's expensive, so it must be good. But the other, I actually believe in what I'm saying because I've experienced it, because I know what I'm talking about. That's the security we're talking about tonight. Knowing who Jesus is in our own lives so we can tell others about the joy and transformation we ourselves have experienced. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 6 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And so, guys, the security we have is in Jesus, that we who believe in Jesus are saved, and that we should hold fast in this world to the truth that we are saved by the blood of Jesus. But how can we know that we're saved? Paul continues here by saying that he delivers the same thing that he also received, right? He's bought in, he's experienced it, saying, guys, I'm not selling you something I don't know. These are not the Air Max 270s, these are the Brooks. That Christ went to the cross for our sins. He died for us and rose again in 3 days, signifying that he had defeated death. And not only did he defeat death, he also showed himself to the apostles and 5 other people. But let's go back to where Paul said, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you. Our security is not in our own strength, right? But in the truth that Jesus has risen, meaning we have a hope and a knowledge that this world doesn't know. The security that we have, a Father in heaven who knows us, has defeated sin and death, and allows us to stand on that firm foundation of Jesus without being shaken by the things of this world. And that's important, right? Because bad things do happen. Whether it's as small as an argument with a friend or as life-changing as a death, knowing that Jesus is real and Jesus hears our prayers and wants to help is the best security we could ever have in this life. But it has to be personal to us. It has to be individualized to who we are if we're going to sell it. If we're going to talk about experience, right? Because it's our own experience. So another example here, going back to shoes. Shoes have different sizes. And shoes are fitted to each one of us, right? I'm a size 13. I can't wear a size 10. I mean, I could. It would hurt. Or I'd have to cut it. But I could. But where I feel comfortable and what I can walk in and go forward in is a size 13, right? Not everyone in here wears a size 13. I have a big foot. I get that. But it's individualized to each and every one of us. And as these shoes that we go out and tell the gospel, it's individualized to who we are as people. And we can even go further than that, right? More than just a size 13. Again, something I know because I'm getting older. There's insoles. Dan never had insoles. This is amazing. With arches and support. I never knew those words. Right? And they have them for different things. But these insoles can be specifically designed for you. Like, it's just awesome. Because, again, as we're talking about the feet of the preparation of the gospel of peace, it's individualized to who we are. I can't go and tell you Israel's story because I'm not Israel. I can't tell you Rob's story because I'm not Rob. I can tell you Dakota's story and I can share the gospel in the way that Dakota would. So that's the security that we're talking about tonight. But as we get into our second pillar, it's at the ready. At the ready. Once we as believers are sure of the confidence we have in Jesus, we must be on the lookout for where the Lord would want to use us. Yes, it's good to have our security in Jesus, but if we aren't prepared at any moment not just to speak, but also live out what we know about him and what he's done in our lives, we're missing out on key moments. Verse John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. so we can ask. And if our foundation is Jesus, then we should always be prepared to seek Him on any matter and go forward trusting in Him. Being prepared and at the ready allows us to help and serve God and others around us. But if we aren't ready, if we're not prepared, if we're not actively working on our relationship with our Creator, we know that we have an adversary who wants nothing more than to destroy us. That's another reason to be at the ready. Because 1 Peter 5, 8-9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." And the idea here is just like a soldier in battle, guys, we are to be alert and at the ready at all times because our enemy knows us very well. Knows us very well. And if we're not prepared and not ready, our flesh and the enemy wants nothing more than to topple us away from Jesus. Being prepared is to always or already be in communion with God before trials and tribulations start. It's to already be there at the ready, seeking Him before it even starts. Because really, if you're putting your shoes on, or when the enemy attacks, you're already dead and defeated because you're unprepared. And so the idea here is to be prepared before the fight comes, before he calls us to something, to be actively looking, actively walking, searching after him. Because it's not only for defense, but being at the ready allows us to move at a moment's notice to help and serve others around us. It allows you to move quickly and precisely to what God is calling you to do. Because at the end of the day, guys, this life is more than just about us. Being prepared and vigilant helps us see others and act in a way that loves and serves them. I have a cool story of a coworker at my work. His name is Wyatt. He's a young man. And I work in the back and receiving, putting freight out. And it's a lot of hard work. And he's awesome. He's awesome, man. Basically, I'll tell him to go and put something out, whether it's a department of stuff, and he'll go and do it. And I have the big picture of what everyone's doing throughout the whole store. And he'll come back to me once he's done and say, "Okay, I'm done with that. What's next?" And I'm like, "That's awesome. Thank you. Because I don't have to go and find you." And Wyatt takes the initiative and intentionality to come and find me and ask and say, "I'm done with what you just asked me to do. What's next?" And as someone who has a grand scheme of things as one of the leadership at work, it's awesome because I don't have to go looking for him throughout the store. Because on the contrary of what Wyatt does, there's people we all know who get their task done and wait right where they're at, waiting for me, waiting for their boss or their manager or the person above them to come and find them to tell them the next thing to do. And say, "Well, I finished what you asked me to do, and now I'm just waiting here." And isn't that sometimes us with the Lord? We'll say, "Lord, what do you want for us or want us to do?" And he tells us, and we go and do it. And we're like, "Awesome, okay, we did what the Lord asked." And then we just kind of sit there and wait. "All right, Lord, what's next?" But we don't actively pray and seek him in it. We just kind of sit back and say, "Okay, Lord, you're going to show me the next thing when it comes. Show me the next step when it happens." But we shouldn't always be waiting in that. Will the Lord show you in that? 100%. He will. But also, in actively seeking after him, in going to him and saying, "Okay, Lord, what's the next thing?" We can be proactive in being at the ready, proactive in what is next for us in this life. Because guys like Wyatt, we need to be willing to make it more than just us. Wyatt understands that it's seven guys working at one time trying to get the freight out. It's more than just him. To be willing to make it more than just us. We are called to go and make disciples. We are called to be the image bearers of Jesus. The visual I get with being at the ready is that of a guard watching a camp by torchlight at night. All right, we've all seen Lord of the Rings and the different visuals of a camp and somebody, a guard standing watch while everyone else sleeps. That's kind of what I see as at the ready. The guard knows that he isn't alone, but is being aware and vigilant because it's bigger than himself. The camp is bigger than himself at that moment. If he slacks off, how many of those that he loved are in danger? Same can be said for us as Christians. We should always be ready to speak about our faith and why we have a hope that's within us. Because this is the only life that we live. We don't get redos. So the people that we talk to quite literally could be about life and death. We could talk about the peace in knowing who our Savior is. Or if we don't, and they stay in what they want to stay in, it's an eternity in darkness. That's what's at stake here. That's what us as believers, before we were believers, before we were saved as Christians, who accepted Jesus into our lives, that's where we were destined for. The stakes are high. And I'm not saying that, and I'm not saying, and the word is not saying that we need to go and do this perfectly, to go and be perfect evangelists. I'm not saying that at all. But what it is saying and what we are called to is that we're called to a higher purpose than just living our lives in comfort, going about our days. We are called to go out and make disciples. We are called to go out and be image bearers to a dark world. Now, pillars hold up, right? If you think of a pillar of any kind of structure, it holds up. So what do these pillars hold up? These two pillars hold up the frame of our Christian walk, which is support. Now, yes, support is important, and we need to know how to support one another. But before we figure out how or what it looks like, Isaiah in chapter 52 tells us why it's so important. Isaiah 52, verse 7 says, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Now, support here can be seen a lot like security, where Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is our support. But the support I'm talking about is the ability to support others, to put them on your shoulders, to come alongside them, to be with them in the middle of it. Our call as Christians doesn't mean we're called to be fortified cities, right? We're not called to go and build walls and be secure that way and say, nobody gets in. It's quite the opposite. We're called to go forth and share this truth that we not only know, but have experienced, guys. We're called to move forward, and we can only do that if we know we are secured in Jesus and who we are in Jesus and at the ready for whatever life brings, and move accordingly. And I'm aware that not everyone here is an evangelist. You don't have to be. But everyone in here is called to evangelize and share the gospel through their life, to be image bearers. Looking at my own life here, I get to lead the youth and young adult ministries here at church. And when I go to my retail job, most of the employees are college-age students. It's the same age group, but I'm sharing my faith differently to them. And it's been awesome because a lot of them don't know Jesus. And the cool thing about it is I've had people come up and talk to me and say, what is this thing that you do? Why do you have joy? Because at work I don't actively talk about Jesus every day. I tell them who I am. I tell them this is what I am and this is what I believe, but I love and serve them every day. And in a place like most retail jobs that is not very happy, is not very motivated, is not very encouraging, I am trying to be a bright light in the darkness. And these young college-age students see that and say, why are you different? And I'm like, well, if you really want to know, I can tell you about it. I get to tell them about Jesus, and they're actually listening because they ask the question. And I get to keep doing the ministry that God has called me to, just in a different scenic area and with people who don't know Jesus. But even though that's how I share my faith, I don't share it the same way that Ethan does, or the Tresslers, or Rob shares their faith. My faith is in my experience and how I share it is unique to me. They're my insoles. It's my arch support. I love that. It doesn't mean that any are bad. It just means that we're using our gifts differently for God's glory. Because we're all called to evangelize. Not all called to be evangelists. In 1 Corinthians 3, 9 to 15, it says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's fields. You are God's buildings. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's works will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. And guys, as we lift others up, we also grow into what God is calling us to personally. As we support, we are growing into what God and molding into what God has for us. This is where it's more than just us today, guys. Take a big picture for a second. The building of the church has gone on through generations, with Christ being the foundation. And only by the building of previous workers sharing the good news are we here today secured in the truth that we are God's children, chosen by name. Take a big picture of that. That's only by work of the buildings of previous workers that we're all here today. It's been like that for generations and generations and generations, the foundation being solely Jesus Christ. So what does strapping on the shoes of the gospel of peace look like So what does strapping on the shoes of the gospel of peace look like today for us? I think it starts by being secure in who Jesus is and who we are in him. If you think back to the sales pitch, guys, we need to believe what we're selling. If you want to come to Academy, I'll sell you some Brooks. It's okay. But here as Christians, we are showing the world that the life that they're living does not lead to glory or to joy or to riches. It leads to death. And we're trying to give them the truth, the joy, and the hope of Jesus to people who desperately need him. How do I know that? Because before I was saved, I desperately needed him. Desperately needed him. And I found it in many other ways, many other things, and it wasn't the right size for the hole in my heart, like many other people in this room. People desperately need Jesus. That hasn't changed in the 2,000 years that he's, you know, hasn't been here anymore. He's gone to heaven. And if we don't believe in it, if it's not part of who we are, then how can we expect others to see it. After we're secure in Jesus and we know his character, guys, we have to be willing to make it, we have to be willing to make it about more than just us. Yes, we are saved if we accept Jesus into our lives. We are saved. We have eternal life. That is awesome. It's more than just that. We're not called to be fortified cities. We're not called to be islands. We're called to make disciples. We're called to go forth and go out. And I'm not saying that God doesn't care for the individual. His character and word says that he does. But we're called to fellowship. We're called to go and share the gospel. We're called to come alongside one another. We're also called to be beacons that go forth to a lost and a dark world. Now, there are no steps to get to a place to support. It's the first two pillars that we have, right? It's, are we secure in Jesus and are we at the ready? Are we vigilant and prepared at a moment's notice to go and do what the Lord has for us? If we're secured, we go our life seeking after him, being ready to move. That is how we support believers and unbelievers alike. It should come naturally to us. It should be part of our daily lives to just talk about Jesus if someone asks, to talk with Jesus, to always be talking with Jesus. So are you secure in Jesus? How can you know? Are you double-minded? How do you respond to trials? Do you go and try to do it in your own strength and what you know? Or are your eyes on Jesus the whole time? Saying, Lord, I don't know what the end of this is going to look like, but Lord, I have no other hope than you. And I've been there. I've done it in my own strength, and I usually fall flat on my face. But I've also been in those places where I say, Lord, I have no clue what the end of this roller coaster looks like. But I know that you're the one leading it, and I can trust in you. So are you secure in Jesus? And are you ready? It's really a matter of intentionality. Are you praying about opportunities? Are you praying in your daily life about, Lord, what would you have me do for today? As I'm going through and getting groceries and selling people shoes, and putting freight out and doing these things, Lord, what would you have me do? But more than that, are you praying for God to use the time that you're in? I get it. Everyone's busy. Everyone has a life. We have busy lives. God wants to be in that with you. Because if you're not intentionally praying through your life, in your daily life, you're probably not intentionally acting on what the Lord would show you. You'd be putting your shoes on when the moment's there. And then by the time you're ready, the moment's passed. And you're like, oh man, I should have done that. But we can remember back to my story with my coworker Wyatt. Whatever we're doing in the day-to-day life, are we asking God, okay, this is what I have next. What do you want to do with it? Hey, I finished this that you just told me to do. What else would you have me do? This is what I'm going to go do. Do you want me to do something else instead? Are we asking those questions? Because the Lord might say, go and have a conversation with someone, with this person. Or the Lord might even say, hey, let's have a conversation. And so you have a conversation with the Lord, and that's what it looks like for the day. But either way, we are prepared for whatever is next because we're asking the question and we're bought in. And with that, guys, we should see fruit from it. Whether in the conversations we have with people, or the support and care that we show to others, or the Lord perfectly and patiently growing us, there should be fruit from walking in this and going forth in this. That's how we know. That's how we know we're secure in Jesus. That's how we know our eyes are on Jesus. The frame of support here, guys, is others focused. But our fruit should be visible not only to us, but to the world around us, right? To ask the question, why are you different? And so as we bind on the preparation of the shoes of the gospel of peace, it leads to the question, how strong is your foundation? Are you bought into it? Can you tell somebody about Jesus right now, or would you have to go talk to somebody about what do I have to say? How strong is your foundation? And are you moving in the right direction? Are you moving in the right direction, or are you being complacent and comfortable and standing still? And by standing still, you're going behind. It's funny that I have to wear active shoes now, again, because I'm old. I'm getting old. I used to wear skater shoes, but they were flat and you can't have any support. But the act of wearing shoes that have support and arch is to move forward, is to go forward and move in the right direction. And so I'm very cognizant of what I buy now and what I wear. Are we cognizant of the fruit that we have? Are we cognizant of the foundation we have in Jesus? And are we aware if we're moving in the right direction or not? Because at the end of the day, Jesus wants to do it with us. He delights in that. He's called us to go and move, and that's what the shoes here, the armor represent, is to going out, going forth. So are you moving in the right direction? Do you have visible fruit? Father, thank you so much. Lord, in what you have called us to, Lord, thank you for good shoes. Lord, for the ability to go forward in what you've called us to, Lord, that we can have a relationship with you and know that at the end of the day, Lord, if we know who you are and who we are in you, Lord, and we're prepared at any stop, Lord, then what can stop us? Lord, we're seeking after the one true King. And so, Lord, in this group of people, my brothers and sisters in here, I pray that you speak to each and every one of us. Lord, show us the steps in front of us. Show us what's next, Lord. And as we do that, Lord, help us to come to you and say, okay, Lord, what's next? Or, Lord, this is what I have on my list for today. Can you be a part of it? For, Lord, in that we can love and support the people around us. We can see the hurt. You see the conversations that need to be had and walk accordingly. But Father, it's always you. And we thank you for that. So go before us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.